You can leave your hat on. I don't have a hat. So I was going to talk about films. I was going to specifically talk about Ready Player One because it's really getting on my goat. It's kind of slightly annoying me. I find it slightly irritating because I was very, very, very interested in this film because there have actually been two films from legendary director Steven Spielberg this year. There's been The Post documenting the rise of the Washington Post around the Vietnam War, and this one, Ready Player One, which is an adaptation of a book by, I can't remember his name for the life of me, that's not his name, it was an adaptation of a book by the same name, centering around this whole virtual reality experience and what society would be like if everybody was in virtual reality all the time, and this popular VR game called The Oasis. Now, to give a quick plot summary of Ready Player One, the story follows Wade Watts, aka Parsival, which is his username, on his journey to find an Easter egg left in the massively popular VR game The Oasis. The twist being the winner gets the rights to the company and the game, as the previous owner, James Halliday, passed away. Wade isn't alone in his quest to find the egg and has opposition from the faceless, emotionless corporation known as IOI. Now, that was a quote taken out of a review I wrote because I was feeling so passionate about the film after I came out, after seeing it, because like there were some things that I absolutely loved, but other bits really, really did leave me flat, and I was conflicted, but because you can see in reviews, people seem to either love it or hate it. It seems to be a Marmite thing, but overall, I enjoyed it. I'm not saying that I didn't enjoy it, but there were things that I really, really kind of left me a bit like lukewarm. The thing that I really, really loved was the aesthetic and the way everything looked, because it was very clear that a lot of work had gone into the CGI segments of the film, because part of it is obviously in the real world and part of it is in this game. And I would have imagined that such a change all the time would have been like really jarring, but it really wasn't. They managed to transition smoothly between the two, almost seamlessly, and I commend the people who did that, because it's just very, very well put together. What kind of left me a bit lukewarm was the fact that there was it was caught up in its own references, if that makes sense. Because the film, the premise is that the creator of the game was obsessed with pop culture, and so obviously you would expect there to be some level of reference, but I feel like it was too busy trying to be clever with the references to actually tell its own story, because there is a plot, but there are lots of fun references over the top. I'm not saying that the references are bad, they're very well done and they're very well weaved in to the plot, but there's just a lot of them. But that doesn't detract from the fact that overall it is a really, really, really entertaining experience, especially visually, with all the bright lights and colours of this amazing virtual world that you really aren't able to experience yet, but you can taste it. You can see the beginnings of that kind of technology, because there's the popular online game VR Chat, where people can choose an avatar and wander around and chat to people in various different locations, very similarly to the game in Ready Player One. And it's just a very, very interesting look at society and how we're deeply ingrained into technology and how it may change our lives in the future. And that's my little... My little monologue, I guess, my little snippet, kind of quick review. Well, I say review, I'm no expert, but those are my reactions and thoughts about Ready Player One. And I mean, if you've seen the film, I would love to hear what you think about it, because there are so many different reactions from different people out there, and I would love to know what you think. You can contact us on Twitter with at Vectis Radio. And we're just going to listen to some Jimmy's Big Fish with All This Time, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the CGI element of the film. some more wonderful local music, Jimmy's Big Fish, with all this time on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, and online. Now, I just spent too long talking about Ready Player One and how I kind of came out left a little bit conflicted as to whether I really enjoyed it, and talking about the different aspects that I enjoyed, the visuals. I really, really love the visuals, whereas, like, the story itself, I was kind of left a little bit lukewarm, but, like, overall, I still enjoyed it. But we were going to go into a little bit more depth about the CGI stuff, mm-hmm. and how amazing that technology is, because we were talking about The Incredibles earlier. If you go back and look at, say, like, the first Toy Story, The Incredibles, and you see the animation there, and then you cut to something like Life of Pi or War for the Planet of the Apes, this is the same technology they're using for both things. They're just about 10 years apart. And it's an amazing advance that there's been, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, massively, yeah. Some, like, you know, CGI compared to animation is so much more realistic. Like, you don't believe that there's something not there until you see the making of it.
Yeah, and that's yeah. something that, like, I found amazing, especially about War for the Planet of the Apes, which I saw, and that is something that I genuinely, like, really 100% enjoyed. I loved that film. That was just an amazing experience. And the motion capture acting from Andy Serkis, who plays Caesar, was just top-notch. I mean, it was just very, very, very good. And what I didn't realise in that film is that 90% of what I was seeing, all these dramatic shots of scenery and of mountaintops and cliffs, was all generated. And it had all been merged in to one using a small, like, they had a, like, it was a huge set, but in comparison to what they were trying to create, it was absolutely tiny. It was minuscule. And it just is, like, testament to the technology and how much it's advanced and the realism of it. And it is just absolutely amazing. And that is something that I really wanted to talk about, because, like, you can look online, actually. You can look up online videos of the making of War for the Planet of the Apes, and you can see that they've got this incredibly detailed real-life set full of people with motion capture suits on, and then they've just got a big green screen. And that is just amazing to me. That really kind of blows my mind in terms of the technology, because I genuinely couldn't tell the difference. And that,
referring back to Life of Pi, yeah. for example, it was literally a man in a boat, not even on water, for example, and they shot him, well, filmed some shots of him in the boat and created, like, an entire world around him.
Yeah.
Which, to do that through just simply technology and people's abilities, I think is quite advanced.
Yeah, I mean, like, the talent involved must be, like, mahoosive talent involved in these massive productions, and it is just very, very good. I mean, we are running up close to the hour now, so we are going to have to cut back to some music and some ads, and then we will be back afterwards. We will have some more things to talk about after some ads, some local music from Hentai Babes after the ads. But it is just absolutely amazing. Here's some Bastille.